your pastor. I appreciate his vision, and the missions conference that this church has had for so many years, and it's truly had an impact all, I would dare say, all across this world. I believe it was at this conference that I was introduced to the, it's called the Responder. It's an audio Bible, and it's solar powered, and you can load four different languages on it. And I just got back from the Dominican Republic late Friday night. And while we were there, I wanted to take a day, and we'd say, okay, let's go up this mountainside here, and let's see if there's any of these remote villages that are out there. And we found what we were looking for sure. Of course, we looked on the map, we said, oh, okay, that's a good road right there. That's an official highway. And of course, you know, when you're in a third world country, their definition of an official highway and ours are slightly different. I remember I'm looking over the edge of that cliff, and I thought, you know, if this vehicle were 18 inches wider, we'd certainly be, you know, tumbled over to our doom here. But the Lord kept his hand upon us in safety. And in these villages, we could hand them a Bible like this, but sadly to say, it would do them no good. They're sad to say, I mean, they're illiterate. They can't read. They would look at it. They would stare at it. God forbid they put it on their shelf as some good luck charm next to some idol. That's not what we want. We want to get the Word of God in them. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so as we're able to scope out these areas, we said, they're here. They're absolutely here. And we've already got guys in our church that's committing to raise the finances to bring 100 of those audio Bibles back up through those mountains and through those villages. And they'll be loaded with English, they'll be loaded with Spanish, they'll be loaded with French, and then a Haitian French as well, which is going to be perfect. So whether they're from the Dominican or whether they're illegally there from Haiti, however they got there, whatever they're there for, they'll be able to hear the Word of God. And I thank God for that opportunity, friend. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Somebody said, well, what's this world coming to, Brother Estes? I said, here's what it's coming to. It's coming to Jesus, because Jesus is coming to this world soon. And I want to be ready for the Lord. And I want to do all that we can in the short time that we have left. And can I tell you, it's a lot shorter than what you think. I'm not a date setter, neither are you. But he's coming soon, and we need to be ready. As the pastor said, if you know somebody this week, and you know they're not right with God, I want you to pray for them. I want you to honestly pray for them. Don't just let that be something that rolls off of your shoulder, but pray for them and bring them. Bring them to the house of God. Bring them here. We don't know how much longer we have left, but I can tell you, friend, hell is a horrific place. It's a hideous place. You don't want to go there. You wouldn't want your worst enemy going there. And friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know that you know that you know that things are right between you and the Lord, today is the day for you to make your calling and election sure. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter number 7, verse number 13. Matthew, chapter number 7, and verse number 13. Matthew 7 and 13. I just want to read two verses here, at least to start out with. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, God's word reads like this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want to speak to us for just a little while this morning, just on this thought, the holy highway, the holy highway. Father, I pray, God, touch every word spoken, said, and done. Bring to my thoughts, God, what you desire spoken in this place. And I do pray, God, for clarity of thought, quality of expression, all those things, but most importantly, that divine anointing. I'm praying that you would touch lives this morning, whether they be here, whether they be listening in, whatever it may be, God, I'm asking you to have your way. Lord, let somebody make a decision today that'll change not only today, God, but throughout eternity. I'm praying, have your way in our hearts and lives. And for this, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we do pray, and everyone said amen. Amen. Now, friend, there's all types of roads in this world. In the United States alone, there's over 4 million miles worth of roads. You can get there. In fact, you can get anywhere in America from this spot right here. You can get there, huh? There's a road to it. I remember I was there in Kenya, Africa, been there several times, and they took me on what they called the Great North Road. I said, oh, that sounds like a good road. Well, there's two things you need to know about the Great North Road. Number one, it doesn't go north. And number two, it's not that great. I said, why do you call, I asked him, I said, why do you call it the Great North Road? This thing does, it goes east and west. He said, I never thought of this. And you'd get going on that road, and about, you get up to about maybe 15, 20 kilometers an hour, which is still a snail's crawl there. And just about the time you get a little bit of a speed behind you, boom, you hit a speed bump, so you got to slow down. And then about the time you start going again, you fall into a pothole. And then you go to another speed bump, and then you go to another pothole. And I finally turned around and looked at Brother Reuben Chuli, and I said, you know, if your government would take that money they spent on those speed bumps and put all that asphalt into those potholes, we could probably make this a great road. He smiles. He says, this makes good sense. Amen. Friend, there's all types of roads out there, but there's one road that really matters. It's this holy highway. It's this road that you make up your mind with and you say, I'm going to follow the King's highway. Friend, if you're going to have hope in not only this world, but in the world to come, I can assure you it's not because you get on a physical road, but because you get on a spiritual road. It's called the King's highway. There's all sorts of roads that are out there that'll take you anywhere you want to go. But I can remind you this morning what Jesus said, broad is that way. It's a way that leads to destruction, and many are on that road today. They may be happy today. They may be footloose and fancy free. They may be bragging about their 401ks and how much money they bring into every Sunday or every week that they make their money with. But friend, can I tell you, when you leave this world, you're not going to be able to take the riches of this world. You better know today that your calling and election is sure. You better know today that your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not simply do you compare yourself to somebody else, or do you feel good or not feel good, but do you know that you know that you know that you are saved today? Friend, there is a decision you must face. Jesus said it like this: enter in at the straight gate. He said, enter in. I remind you, there's only two roads. I know people don't like talking about this because we don't really want to make these kind of decisions. Because in America, we love to put everybody in all these different categories, you know, the upper class, middle class, lower class. That's not how Jesus sees it. He sees it as saved and lost. He sees it as right and wrong. He sees it as holy or vile. And beloved friend, there are no other options than that. You can't simply say, well, I'm just going to be a good moral person. No, that's not the straight and narrow way. Good moral people find themselves in a devil's hell. People that never robbed banks. People that never killed anybody. People that never stuck a gun in anybody's face and told them, give them money. I'm telling you, good moral people find themselves in hell because they did not get on the straight and narrow way. Oh, help me, Lord. There's only two roads to travel. There's only two trees to partake of. Every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. There's only two types of builders, friends. Those that either build on the rock or those that build on the sand. We say rich, poor, young, old, so on and so forth. That's not what God says. He says saved or lost. I realize the going merchandise today is this: let's all go along to get along. Let's everybody just be happy. Let's everybody say, no big deal. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. We'll all just wind ourselves in heaven, won't we? That's not so. Friend, even sincerity, even of itself, is not enough to bring men to heaven. I can take you, and this pastor can take you to places around the world. They are sincere about their religion. They're sincere about their belief in Allah. They're sincere about their belief in Buddha. I've seen them when they get up early in the morning, would travel and make their sacrifices to their little statues. I've seen them as they wept and wailed, looking at idols and wooden idols at that, praying, tugging on their little coattails. Oh, would you come heal my baby? Come. And the idol never turn around and look. It's not a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of truth. It's truth that sets men free. There's a way that seems right in a man, but the end thereof is death. And I can assure you, the truth
truth is this: Jesus Christ is the only way, and you must be born again. You cannot compare yourself to other people and say, because I'm better than them, I must be on my way to heaven. You must be born again. Have you truly been born again? Do you truly know your names in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you truly had that experience with God where you repented and asked for forgiveness, and you know that you've been washed in His blood? If you haven't, friend, with all your morality, you're still not right with God. Oh, help me, Lord. But Brother Estes, I do good works. There's a lot of folks out there that do good works. I remind you again, friend, your sincerity is not enough. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You mean to tell me, Brother Estes, that all these other people and all these other things, they're not making it to heaven? Hear me clearly, but hear me kindly. No, they're not. No, they're not. I'm sorry, they're not. Friend, you've got to know that you're on this straight and narrow way. We live in a culture that says morality by majority. As long as the majority says it's fine, then it must be fine. But the problem with that is you have what over on this side is a thesis, okay? This is how we believe over here. And over on this side, there's an antithesis or an antithesis. And so you have this thesis and then you have this antithesis. And so now they're going to come together to this for the synthesis. And now this is going to be our new belief. But the problem is this: as soon as we agree on the synthesis of things, now that becomes the thesis, and down here becomes the antithesis, the antithesis. So now we've got to agree again. We don't realize we still need Him. Can you say amen? It is a disciplined way. It is a different way. But thank God it's a delightful way. Friend, if you think this is agony to me, think again. If you look around and you think, man, Christianity, that's somebody forced to take bad medicine, you don't know what we do. You don't know who we are. I didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, mercy, I have to. I say, thank God I get to serve God today. I didn't wake up with sorrow. I didn't wake up with regret. I didn't wake up with a hangover. I didn't wake up wondering, is my body riddled with some disease from some type of ungodly lasciviousness done? No, sir, thank God I woke up with peace. I went to bed with peace. I said, thank God you're going to meet our needs. You're going to supply. I'm glad to know He's my Father. I'm glad to know He provides for me. Love it, hear me. You think this is something you got to have a drudgery for? No, it is a discipline, but it is also a delight. I plan on living holy in heaven. I plan on worshiping God in heaven. Hallelujah. If you could only see, if your eyes could be open to see this glorious way and to see that there is peace that passes all understanding, to know He goes with me, He goes before me, He stays beside me, He'll be helping me all the way to the end. Hallelujah. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I looked at it's poverty. You have to understand the absolute poverty that's there, especially as we were traveling up through those mountains. It touches the border, absolutely touches Haiti, and just kind of scrapes along that border for a while before it comes back. And you could see just the absolute poverty that's there. I remember now there'd be other times I would travel to the place called Batista, and then from there I would take a mule. And we would travel 2.5 hours on the back of a mule up to a place called Rancho Viejo, which just means the old ranch. And you look at the poverty that's there. And while you're up on those mountains, if you were to be there at night, every now and again, you could hear those wild beasts. You could hear what sounds like cats or maybe lions. But then you remember, wait a second. There are no wild beasts on this island. Hispaniola doesn't have any lions, tigers, or bears. It's those people that's completely given themselves over to demon worship. And now they're manifesting those animals and those spirits. And friend, I can assure you the poverty that they face financially isn't nearly as cruel as the poverty they face spiritually. It's a sad thing for a man to have to live through hell and then die and go to hell. It's a sad thing for a man that never heard the opportunity that we have this morning. Die lost, but not you. You have the opportunity this day to get off that road and say, I don't want to go down that broad path. I want to know that my name is in God's Bible, God's holy way. Give me just a few more minutes and I'll close this morning. There's a decision to face. There's a direction to follow. And there is a destiny to find. Every road is going somewhere. So let me just ask you a question this morning. When you finally get to where it is you're wanting to go, where are you going to be? I mean, think it through. Boy, this is it. Man, gold, money, all the luxuries of this world. Where's that really going to take you when you finally get there? Is that what you want? As for me, as for my house, I've made up my mind, Pastor. I want to serve the Lord. I'd rather know this way leads me right to God. I'd rather know that when they lay my body in the good, clean earth, they'll say His heart's in heaven. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Decision determines direction, and direction determines destiny. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that. Friend, if destruction and damnation is not in your plans, why don't you get off that road today? If death, sorry, I mean eternal death, is not in your plans, why don't you get off that road today? Destruction is a terrible thing. And a loving, whether you realize it or not, Jesus had more to say about hell than any other preacher found in the Bible. It's Jesus that speaks of these things. There was a church there in Chicago, amen, and the name of that church was Calvary Church. And right past Calvary Church, there was this nightclub, and the nightclub was entitled The Gates of Hell. And it was said one time there was a man, and he's looking for that terrible nightclub. And he asked a police officer, he said, "Sir, how do I get to the gates of hell?" That officer looked back at him and said, "Mister, if you'll just bypass Calvary, you'll find yourself at the gates of hell. I can assure you, beloved, it's more than one man in Chicago. If you step over the grace of God, there's only two roads. There's not a third way. There's not some kind of reincarnation. There's only heaven or hell. Which way do you choose?" "No, sir, there is no purgatory. No, ma'am, there is no second opportunity. And no, just because your sins are small, heaven does not declare a mistrial. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment." I'll say this and I'll step out of the way. An Old Testament theologian, Bruce Waltke, I've studied after him greatly. He said these words, I wrote them down best I could. Quote, "The biblical poets used rich and varied figures to depict it, hell. Hell has a mouth, Psalms 141 and 7, that enlarges Isaiah 5 and 14, is never satisfied, Proverbs 27 and 20, is so powerful that no one escapes its grips, Psalms 89 and 48. It is like a prisoner with cords, 2 Samuel 22 and 6, and a land that has gates, Isaiah 38 and 10, with bars, Job 17 and 16, and corruption is the father and the worm, the mother and the sister, Job 17, 13 and 14. It is a land of no return to this life, Job 7 and 9, an abode where all social and religious distinctions cease. Rich and poor live together, Job 3, 18 and 19. It is a land of silence and darkness, Psalms 13, 3 and 4, of weakness, Psalms 88 and 11, of destruction, of the destructive nature of the realm is intensified by an abaddon, Job 28 and 22, which means a destroyer. And then he said these words, "Pity those who would choose to go there on their own free will. Pity the man that forsakes such a glorious destiny to enter into such a black forest of eternal darkness and damnation." Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 said it like this, "If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Revelation 22 and 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I've read this book many times. I love this great book. Nowhere can you find a man that laughs his way into hell and then manages to laugh his way out of it. Sister Estes, can you help me this morning? So God, by His sovereignty, God, by His mercy, God, by His goodness, has brought us together this morning. And He's telling you there's a decision you must face. There's a direction you need to follow. There's a destiny you will find. You may not have another opportunity, but you have this opportunity. And by the goodness and grace of God, I'm not in the Dominican today. I'm not in Africa or Europe or wherever God may have. I'm right here. This is where my heart is. This is where my burden is. And there's somebody in this house. You need to get off that road and get on this road. Time and again, when you get on that airplane, you sit down, buckle yourself together. Say pleasantries and niceties to the person beside you. How do you do? How do you do? Long day, very long day. Ready to get home? Yes, so am I. And then that stewardess comes out. And then they make an announcement, just like they did the other day. This plane is headed to Atlanta. If Atlanta is not in your plans, we suggest you deboard immediately. If this place is not where you want to go, then we say to you, deboard immediately. Friend, if hell is not in your plans, if eternal damnation is not in your plans, my best advice to you is this: exit now. Exit now. Exit now. Sister Estes, you can help me, please. Maybe you've thought, well, you know, I think I'm good enough. Let me ask you, do you know that you know? It's a no-so. Hallelujah, it's a show-so. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And if you've been ho-hum about this and you've just shrugged your shoulders at one day facing God, I can assure you, you're not ready to face Him. If you've never really thought about it, if you've never really pondered it, if you've never really dwelt on it, if you've just brushed it off as this thing you do is later, you don't have tomorrow. But you do have today. You do have now. Pastor, I remember years ago, I'll say this and I'll close. As I was there in Africa, and that woman who was absolutely possessed. It just a few minutes of prayer, and she just fell right to her, right down. She opened up those eyes, just completely delivered. She began to weep and just ask God. And I come back that next year, and the pastor, he steps off that little matatu, which is their word for a minivan. Pastor James says, "Brother Zane," I said, "Pastor James," he says, "you remember the woman? You remember the woman with the devils?" I said, "I do." He smiled like only those Kenyans can. He said, "She's so happy. Her children so happy. Her husband so happy. She's so happy." And I think to myself, Sister Jarvis, why would anybody want to leave this glorious way to find sorrow, pain, and sadness, where they could find such joy and peace in Him? I'm glad I'm on this road. I'm glad I'm on this trail. I'm glad I woke up this morning in my right mind, clothed in my right mind, a man said. I'm glad to know he's providing for me. I'm glad to know I know him. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, our hearts open. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for yet another opportunity that you've blessed this church with. For every person listening in, for every person here, God. God, I believe right now you're opening the door of opportunity. It may not be open tomorrow. Lord, it may not be open later this afternoon, but it's open right now. And I'm asking you, Father, that you would deal with hearts this morning. Let somebody get off that road. Let somebody get on this road. Let somebody be willing, Lord, to admit, I need God. I'm asking you, Lord, to deal with us and to help us. May somebody make a wise choice in the name of Jesus. Now, your heads are still bowed, your eyes are still closed, your hearts are still open. Here's how I want to do it this morning. Here's how I want to do it. With no one looking around, and don't worry, that live stream, it's faced on me. If it is, it's not on you. But you need to have an honest and open moment. If you're here in this house, and here's how I want to do it right now. If you're in this house and you know that you know everything's right between you and the Lord, you're on your way to heaven by His grace. If you know you're right with God by His grace and mercy, I want you to softly slip up your hand to heaven and keep it up for just a moment. By God's goodness and grace, I'm right with God. Nobody else looking around, you know you're right with God. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I'm right with you, Lord. You know you've got confidence in this thing. You're not half cut. You know. Okay, you can put them down now. That's what I thought. Oh, God. There was a lot that raised their hand, Pastor, but I'm telling you, there were some, and they know in their heart they can't. They know in their heart they can't. Why don't you exit? Why don't you exit that road? Why don't you get off that road? Why don't you do it right now? Here's what I'm going to... If you want to get off that road, you want that crazy thing to stop, you're ready to get on this road, and I'm opening up these altars for you right now. Would you come? This is not a general altar call. This is someone. You want to get off that road and make things right with God. Come right now. Just come and meet us at this altar. Come on, come on. Exit. Pull it over. Turn the wheel. Get off. Don't you know where that thing's heading? Don't you know what's further down that trail? Is that the way you want to go? Nobody in their right mind would want to enter into that terrible place. Nobody would want to enter into a place that was made for devils and his angels. You would be an intruder there. And they would treat you as such. Going once. Church, pray. Church, pray. I need you. I need to pray in church. I need to pray in church. Lift your voice and pray, church. Oh, come on. That's it. Turn the wheel. Turn the wheel. Turn the wheel. Okay. There it is. It's coming. It's coming. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Come on, somebody else. Thank God ice is broke. Somebody else. Come on, here's one. We need somebody. Come on, thank you. Going twice. The exit's coming real close. Oh, God, don't miss it. Going twice. Nothing and nobody is worth you missing God over. Is that it? Is that everybody? Is that every last soul? Now you're free to choose. It's up to you. But oh, pity the heart for the consequences they must face. Oh, Father. Pity the soul for the consequences that are before them. Are you sure? Sold. Sold to the highest bidder. I need some sisters to my left, your right. I need some sisters that'll come over and help them pray on this side over here. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Church, I'm going to ask every last one of us, can we slip up from where we're standing? Can we come around these altars? Can we have a time of prayer? Because you've got loved ones. I've got loved ones. And you know as good as I do, they're on their way to hell. You know as good as I do, they're on their way to devil's torment. They've convinced themselves, they've really thought that because everybody else is going this way, they can go it too, and it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Straight is the way. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. Few there be that find it.